What is up, ladies and gents? It is your friendly neighborhood BJJ podcaster, Raf Esparza, coming to you with another great installment of The Grappling Hour. I hope you're having a good day. We have a good guest with us here today, someone who is near and dear to us on the show. We'll get to him in just a second. But before we continue on this wonderful Monday afternoon, I just want to say a few things. First and foremost, if you like the show and you want to support us, sorry, didn't know where the swap out was. Swap out is TV talk for the finished product. Thus, the finished Grappling Hour t-shirt, you can get one of those by going on over to rafesparza.com/merch. Do that, pick up a t-shirt, a hoodie. I hear it's very cold in places, and you can get that. It is amazing. So go do that, rafesparza.com. You can also go check us out on Patreon. We are at Grappling Hour on Patreon, so patreon.com/grappling hour. And you can see our interviews 30 days before anybody else. We have some great stuff coming up this week. I'm actually loading up some interviews this week that are going to be exclusive to our folks on Early Access for 30 days. And then we're going to do some premium content, one of which I just told our guest that I think in the near future people are really, really going to love. So there is that and much, much more. So you guys can also like, comment, and subscribe in the video, and your comments will be put into the show if you're watching live. So that's kind of what I got for you. And also join our Discord at Grappling Hour. Let's get to our guest right now. Our guest is no stranger to the show. He has previously been a correspondent for our ADCC telecast, and he has also been a dear friend to us here at the show. You may not know this, but our friend here, Brian, has been making all of the wonderful clips that we have been able to put up. So I thought it was near and dear to us to bring him on to this week's edition, our installment of Running the Gauntlet. Please welcome our good friend, one, Brian Peterson. Brian, how are you doing, sir?
We're doing good. Excited to be here.
It's very nice to have you. Sorry, I wanted to make sure you were framed in properly before we brought you in. But I think a lot of people do know that you do help out with the show. We've tried to say a little bit more of that. But at the same point, is there a certain clip that you've put out that you have enjoyed more than most, perhaps?
I definitely have a couple that I've had a little bit of fun with. Anytime I get to add in a little bit of extra nonsense is always a good time. I think one of the clips that stands out is when you interviewed Mo after she won at Trials, kind of framing up everything. I think that one just turned out really well. Other than that, just a couple of especially in the BJJ space, there's a couple of just downright lunatics out there. And so when you get some real unhinged content in the podcast, it's just like, oh, this makes my job easy. Let's clip that.
My favorite thing is when I know that things are going awry and that I think they're bad, I know that you're licking your lips like that yellow jacket dude meme like this. And I go, oh, he's going to clip this one. This seems like a terrible clip. And I know he's ready for it.
Oh, 100. The best times too is sometimes I'll show my wife and be like, "Yo, check, look at this clip I've got from this podcast," and she'll be like, "Oh, wow, they really went and said that, huh?" And I'm like, "Yeah," and I'm gonna like highlight it, and then she'll be like, "That's a terrible idea," and then I'll later see that person like repost that clip themselves and be like, "Oh, look at this," and I'm like, "See, they love it."
I forget what it's like to civilians, but there is a certain thing that people enjoy about my interviewing style. So yeah, it does take a moment to people who are not in the sport that you have to explain, like, oh no, we're friends.
And just, it's, that's actually not the worst thing I've heard. So yeah, shoot for the middle.
Well, that is very fair. What have you been up to, sir? I don't know what you've been up to recently. Half the time, I know you're always traveling around and doing stuff for both work and for your own life. But what has been recently happening with you, sir?
We're just out here grinding away. We got, we just had our gym's in-house tournament where I got to screw up a bunch of matches by reffing. So that was really good. I got to play a lot of favoritism there. That was a good experience. We got, of course, my seminar coming up this coming Saturday in Dubuque, where I'm going to show people a bunch of wrist locks and tell them to use them irresponsibly. So those are kind of the big things right now.
I guess the question for you is why wrist locks?
Because, like, you could beat anybody with, like, you pass the guard, you get on the back, you rear naked choke. That's great. No one's going to go home and dream about that. But when you are on someone's back and they're defending the choke, and then you just slide their hand out and just press it against the mat as hard as you can, and then every fiber of their being starts shooting off electricity and they start yelping to the point where now they're just looking at the wrist. They don't even realize that they just exposed the neck, and then you punch a choke in. They're going to go home and, like, you know, look at a picture of you in the shower. And that's what I live for. That's what gets me up in the morning.
We're going to move. The fact that you're...
Are you sure? I have more.
Nope. The fact that you're okay. Like, I really hope that this dude goes home and has a picture of me in the shower. I think that's as good as moment as all to go to the board. So we have six topics here, one of which you know. Sir, is there any of these topics that you're nervous about? You started trying to figure out what these are, and I think you have in your head what these may be. But I'd like to know, is there any one of these that might scare you?
No, I'm gaming it, but just in case, we're going to keep revive to about the middle, just in case I need something to pump me back up. So if I'm going to pick one, I think I want to start with RSVP.
RSVP, why don't we go ahead and start there? As good a place as any. Sir, your prompt is as follows. This weekend, three new individuals were given invites to ADCC. Name one individual you would like to see get an invite before West Coast trials so that they don't block someone else from getting the spot.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think who would be just a great person to get an invite. And you know what? You got to consider that a lot of people that you think wouldn't be invited because of things like steroids or something, that's all legal, right? So that's all on the board. Who would just be a great person to just totally mess up some brackets? Let's get Lovato back. Let's get Lovato back in the game. That's the thing. You know, The Rock is back in WWE. We need some legacy people. Let's send one back out to Marcelo. We'll get him in. I'm a huge Marcelo fan. I want to see Marcelo take somebody to task at ADCC. I think that's going to be it. That's my answer.
Marcelo is the person that just goes like, you know what? You guys were waiting too much without me. Let's see if the GOAT can really reaffirm that GOAT status.
They don't even announce it. There's just, like, for some reason, the minus 88 just has, like, one random spot. And you get the announcer from Pride back out, and everyone's come out, and then, Marcelo Garcia! Everyone loses their minds.
You know, I have to say, I'm very happy to see Marcelo get the love that he is. He has had some health issues, so, you know, I don't know if I want to put him out there because of those health issues. But I would love to see him, period. I do like the fact that, you know, you're somebody who knows these very well. So you've seen this happen in real time. Like, you have watched, you have commented. But now that you're in the game, the look of abject horror that you had when you're like, wait, that's the question? Shit, is that it? How we play this game? Was worth the weight in gold to me.
You know, it was 100% me going, oh my God, who's already gotten invited? Uh-oh. Let's just start... screw that. Let's just start thinking of people.
And the best was you being like, Lovato. Lovato seems like a choice. He's All-American. Let's bring him in.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and show you my version. I do have a take on this one, so I will go ahead and throw back on over to RSVP. And for RSVP, let's get you off here and me back on. So I'm calling this the official Paul Ardea honorary selection. Here's why. Paul has been somebody who has blocked out people 3-4 times at ADCC trials to the point where you think to yourself, you're good. You don't have to come back here, sir. In fact, you can go somewhere else. So what I'm saying on this one is, let's give it to Cody Steele. Cody Steele is in the middle of fighting. It's hard to get him back and forth. I get it. I understand. There might be people who might have jiu-jitsu that could beat him at a who's number one or et cetera, et cetera. However, with Cody Steele, there is an agreement that says, I will give you all the suplexes in my body that I can muster, and it will get you out of your seats. So don't have him do the trials. Let him continue his burgeoning career as a great martial artist inside of the cage while at the same time getting the best of both worlds. And by that time, he might be on Fight Pass anyway. Just saying right now. So, That is my pick. Go ahead, sir.
I'm glad to hear that you're in support of Cody finishing his story. So you heard it here first.
You know what, though? The other thing that I had to take a moment to kind of get behind was when you said The Rock. Is I was like, you know, why not? At this point, when you're saying, like, if we're not testing for steroids and he's already cutting these great promos, let's welcome Mr. Johnson back to the fold here where the real combat happens.
Tell me you don't want to see Nicky Rod and The Rock go at it.
Well, considering that I am on record, the first time I saw Nicky Rod, I called him a Walmart version of The Rock. Yes, I would like to see that. And
it writes itself.
The other thing that I should mention about that is, yes, The Rock, great stuff there. But also, did you see this report that it was that The Rock apparently was rubbing some of the talent wrong because he gets to say bad words and that the network doesn't like it and that other people feel there's a double standard? Have you seen any of those headlines?
I have.
Okay, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think if you really want to be able to swear on TV, you just have to go and get in a terrible DC movie. Like, once you do that, you could do whatever you want.
Can I point this out?
And there's no shortage of terrible DC characters that people can play. I just want to say that.
Who are some of the other DC characters that we haven't gotten around yet? Because when I saw that Blue Beetle had one, I go, we're getting to here? I'm like, is it Booster Gold now? Is that where we're going next, fam?
Just out of Batman villains alone, where's Calendar Man? We haven't had Calendar Man in a movie yet. Bring him in.
Love it. Love it. I do feel that we have said our piece on that one. But yes, Cody Steele would be my pick. Additionally, like, either of the Rotolos, although I feel like they're getting invites now. I just noticed that the invites are starting to get sucked up more and more. I think we are at officially half capacity on the individuals who will be fighting at the Worlds.
Yeah, so I think the Rotolos are, I don't know how you don't invite them at this point, but that's the game, right?
Or if you invite, like, one but not the other, you're like, ooh, you're a former champion, and I guess you're just kind of a guy. You were just born after him. Yikes. So that's what I've been trying to balance and figure out there. All right, sir, tell me where you would like to go next.
All right, let's go rank.
Rank it is. Sir, I'm about to read you out some names. Your job, whether you choose it or not, is to rank out the following things. Your job. Rank the following franchises from best to worst. James Bond, Star Wars, Harry Potter, and Marvel.
Oh, boy. All right. They both are so, they all have so much trash. Oh, God. I'm just going off the highest of highs here. We're gonna go Star Wars, James Bond, Marvel, Harry Potter. I decided to switch it up. We're going off of the worst of the worst. Star Wars, even the stuff that is terrible is so laughably terrible that you gotta watch it. And the same goes for James Bond when he's in, like, You Only Live Twice. When he's coming out of the volcano, that's just insanity. Marvel, Thor Dark World should say it all, and then Harry Potter, the bad stuff is just like, oh boy, can't wait for this movie to end.
So hold on, Harry Potter is at the bottom of your list, sir?
That's right.
Okay, interesting. Okay,
let's hear your comments.
I'm gonna do mine next, so I'm just trying to make sure.
I'm a Ravenclaw, I'm right.
God, I'm so glad you took whatever quiz was online that mined your data to figure out which house you belong to. So let's go back. You did, what was your one again?
Star Wars, James Bond, Marvel, Harry Potter.
Okay, I see that. All right. Before we get to the discussion of it, I'm just going to give you mine then. So we'll go right back to you on that prompt. And that is for the rank prompt. And we'll take off guest and we'll go back to me. All right, this one's difficult because a lot of you nerds are going to get bent out of shape, but I'm going to tell you the way it is, okay? He wasn't wrong about one thing, and I will get to that in just a second. But first, I'm going to go down like this. I do think it does go James Bond. Yep, it's got to go James Bond. Star Wars, Marvel, Harry Potter. And some of these are disputable. I understand that. But here's why. James Bond was the original franchise. Without that, you don't have other franchises. So you can't just supersede that. And it has gone through decades, decades of revivals. And even when it's terrible, it's actually made a lot of money. Go see Die Another Day, or don't. Except for the Madonna part. The Madonna part is objectively terrible. Marvel movies have had some of the biggest pops in the world. I mean, a money-making machine. Star Wars, prequels, you guys love it, but you're children, and you were wrong. And Harry Potter, the worst. Just shut up, British people. You're dumb. Okay, that's what I got for you. So I don't know that we're super far off here. I think there's actually more commonality than not.
I think so, and that's the thing, and I just... Getting Harry Potter fans kind of all in a tizzy is always fun, because like even the bad stuff, it's like, well, yeah, that's bad, but James Bond does that, but worse, you know?
I mean, James
You're Bond like, has... well, J.K. Rowling wrote offensive characters. I'm like, have you seen Sean Connery ever?
The best thing was, as a kid, trying to put context in a very un-PC culture in the 80s, where Barbara Walters is asking Sean Connery, like, so do you think it's okay to slap a woman? And he's just like, well, of course. I mean, if you need to slap her, maybe she needs to figure out what's wrong. And you go, what? What question is this? And what response is this? This is the worst combination anybody could have put together.
We're like looking in the corner like, is this an SNL skit? Oh, no. Oh, crazy. That's dope. Good for him, I guess.
I just want to put it out there. Like, James Bond, being the original franchise, I have to give him his respect because... Listen, I thought that franchise could have been done after GoldenEye. It was like my dad's franchise. And then guess what? With Pierce Brosnan, I thought he was a great James Bond. Had some weird movies, but I thought he always shined through. Could have done a couple more. But then they wanted to go cheaper because they realized that Die Another Day, it made the most money at the time a James Bond movie had ever made. And then all of a sudden, they recast to Daniel Craig and they're like, oh my God, James Bond is good. It's who knew it was good all of a sudden? It's like, fuck you guys. You just showed up. It's always been good. Listen, and Casino Royale is very good.
I 100% agree. Brosnan's my guy. I watched GoldenEye like crazy. It's favorite Bond. And I do think that there is untapped potential now with Daniel Craig to come back as Bond, but also as Benoit Blanc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well...
Because having him coming through the door with the PP7 and just be like, what's going on here? You know, that's all I need now.
There's something truly wonderful about the fact that when he was doing that role, they basically just said, your accent cannot be weird enough. Please go higher. And he's just like, well, I do say and I do declare if you want me to go high, I can. And you go, yep, Foghorn, Leghorn, it up,
sir. 100%.
All right, sir, where would you like to go next?
All right, I'm still feeling pretty good. We're going to save Revive. Let's do Iron next, Iron, and we'll hop into Revive after that.
Copy that, sir. We're going to Iron. And this is, last week it was announced that the Paul brother would be taking on Mike Tyson in a boxing match. Come up with the BJJ equivalent of this hot mess of a matchup.
Oh, man. I mean, we can still use Dylan Danis, right?
Sure,
like
absolutely.
That's still on the table. actually, I think he would be good on the BJJ side because he hasn't like competed in anything in, you know, a while. So we'll put Danis in the Tyson spot, which is a thing I didn't think I would ever say. And then, oh man, who's just a good personality that everybody hates? Yeah, you know, I don't know. Let's stick Guy Fieri in there. I think he's had it too good for too long. So I'm going Guy Fieri and Dylan Danis. I think, yeah, we're gonna send this rivalry to Flavortown.
Why are we doing these two individuals? Danis has beef with almost everybody, and I'm pulling my hair out. I don't think there's anybody that has ever said he has beef with Guy Fieri. So
I don't think it'd take much. I don't think it'd take much.
Is it that one day he said some shit to him and it was just like, you know what, I didn't like your fight. You know what, that fight that you had 9 years ago, I didn't like it.
Yeah, Guy Fieri is a very polarizing individual. The fans are either black or white, just like the tips to the roots of his hair. You never know which way you're going to go with it.
I mean, let's put it this way. When I think about stuff like that and you say it, I kind of hear it out more and more. And I think about it the longer I gestate on it, I go, you know, actually, that could work. Especially if maybe Guy Fieri has a hot take on the new Roadhouse movie. And all of a sudden, Dylan Danis gets really defensive for Conor McGregor. It's like, you don't know what he went through, man. That was a tough role for him.
That's what I was thinking. You know, it's one of those things where you just see the headlines of like McGregor and Danis kicked out of Guy Fieri's restaurant. There's a scuffle. You know, hey, now we don't allow them in Flavortown. And then it just goes on and on from there. Suddenly you got, Triller 4, Danis versus Fieri. And you know what? Yeah, like you said, now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, you know, it can't be weirder than Paul and Tyson.
It unfortunately makes more sense the longer you think about it. And I think that is both a credit to you for prompting it. And if you think about the plausibility of it is, you put together the fact that Guy Fieri is checking out UFC events. So, you know, he gave props to one of our good friends, Chase, and Chase Hooper basically being like, yo, bro, I love you. Who's to say that the mayor of Flavortown isn't at some jiu-jitsu dojo right now? So it is a huge possibility. And how much further can we get? Okay. I'm not sure I have one for sure, but I'm going to talk it out and see if I am able to give you what should be a match that we should see. So 57 seconds, that's enough time to do this. All right. Let's put it this way. We don't have a ton of legends in a way that other sports might, but here in jiu-jitsu, there are people who maybe are kind of still active, but not enough in that Mike Tyson way, maybe about that same age. Here's what I'm saying. Even with his health problems, I say you nominate somebody like a Hickson Gracie. Now, Hickson has over 400 fights, allegedly. And I think that number has come under dispute again because he's like, I think I got some more. But the question is, against who? Like, who currently could get under people's skin in a way that makes them annoyed, frustrated, angry? You put all those things together and you start to realize, oh, wait a second. What if it's the jabroni grappler himself, Elijah Carlton? About the same kind of blondness, about the same kind of under your skinness, and a champion in a different league. So I'm just saying, if you consider those two things together, you have yourself a potential matchup of hot mess proportions.
You know, 10, how much is PGF giving away this year?
100
Is that enough to get Hixton to come out of retirement?
You know, I it's hard to say. Because especially with somebody who fought for free, in a number of those instances, I wonder if being like, bro, I will give you $20 if Hickson's like, oh, I'll take out that dude at the end of the bar, and you're like, dude, don't you have hip problems? And he's like, I can still
Yeah, I
get
mean,
by.
I think the real way to set that fight up is just to get Elijah to go walking down the beach and talking trash, and then it'll just happen.
You know, if you build it, they will come. So that's kind of the hope here. Maybe that is something that we can continue to produce and make happen. But I did notice, though, when you start talking about the reality of Elijah becoming this bigger phenom of being a heel. Last week on the PGF show, they were like, who is the bigger heel, AJ Ogazarm or Elijah Carlton? And I now will replicate that question to you, sir.
Oh, who's the bigger heel?
Yep.
Oof. That's a good question. You know, it's it, I think they really should have a match to determine it. Because that's really where it comes in. It doesn't even matter who wins. You just get them both on the mats. Let 2 seconds of action goes by, and whoever they're booing, it's like, oh, that's it. You know, it's very much you just put them on the scale, and then just like, oh, okay, yeah, we always knew.
By the way, I don't know if you know this about me, but in my big kid job, occasionally I do work for game shows, reality series. There was a reality series that was a competition show that I worked on, and one of the challenges had to be determined through applause. So we had to get a decibel reader on and like an app on my phone, and my job was to record. And I told them, I was like, don't use it off your phone, use it through like a microphone. So like you can do a plug-in, it'll give you better sound. They're like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, positive. I showed them the readings, they're like, you're right. The approximate closeness between like a tepid applause and a heavy applause was not further than you think. So on a couple of these, we were like, did they tie? Shit. What's the bylines if they tie? And we're like, we have to go to the, I guess, a cheer off. And then you're just begging for these people to be like, please just pick one. I swear to God, just literally please cheer harder for this, like this much. And when they did, we were all like, thank God. So
see, I'm just learning that that wasn't, that isn't always gimmicked as I assumed it, that it was. And that's incredible, but that's even better. Yeah, I think the most conflicts you really could just resolve with a like, all right, let's hear it for this guy.
Well, a lot of
us can't hear you.
A lot of us who grew up in the 80s are used to, you know, rap battles or dance offs where you're like, let me hear it if you like this guy. Which, by the way, nothing is funnier than objecting a human being to being like, you're worth in 3, 2. Oh, the people don't love you as much. Get out of here, trash. All right, Star Search, Britney Spears, come here. You're the real talent. Yay.
Well, we'll get Wilmer Vandarama out of retirement. He can come in and host it. We'll get a couple of Yo Mama jokes in there. And, you know, I think that's what everyone wants to see.
Which, by the way, every time he doesn't speak with the full accent, I'm still very mad. Like, I feel
it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
If
who
you
is
are
that?
Somebody who becomes famous because of an accent, Sofia Vergara, then I think you have to stay to that accent. And you know what? To her credit, she is stuck with that accent. And like, people are like, oh, don't you feel bad? Shouldn't you learn more American? And she was telling me, she's like, this is my accent. This is how I speak. And I go, I know you don't fully speak in that accent all of the time. Having said that, kudos for that fucking commitment to that character. That is the Daniel Day-Lewis of television accents, if I have ever heard one.
Do you like to think that she is actually, like, secretly an English actor? And then she goes home and is like, oh, bloody hell. That was a rough one, wasn't it?
How much can I say here? I have heard when the accent drops, it's not English, though. It is definitely jarring. Let's put it that way. But yeah, I've definitely seen people who, you know, like Larry the Cable Guy, when he's off camera is, I think that one's now publicly reported, but a long time ago you would see it and it would break your ears at sometimes. There's shit that I have seen through the many shows I have worked on that I was like, huh? What? Oh, I was just a human watching TV back in the day.
We'll timestamp this so that when we clip it, we could put a big allegedly in the corner. So that should save us from all of this slander that Roth is putting out there.
I will tell you this right now. If Sofia Vergara wants to play Running the Gauntlet, she can play. She can participate. And then we can drop all legal action because it'll be equal to both parties. It will be her community service and our biggest get. So aside from you, sir. You said you wanted to go to Revive next, correct?
Let's do it. I feel like I stumbled on that last one. I need a little pick-me-up.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Have the topics gone the way you've thought they've gone in your head to now?
You know, I don't know that I gave them much thought in the first place, and I kind of was just like, well, we're just going to do it, right? Okay. If this is emblematic of my jiu-jitsu, I wouldn't be that surprised.
I'm laughing because before we got on air, you were just looking at the topics and you're like, oh, yep, I can see where that's going. And I go, can you? Because, bro, half the time I don't know where they're going. I have a general.
Oh, are they the questions I thought they were going to be? No, absolutely not. Okay. But, you know, hey, we're doing it.
Fair enough. All right, let's go to our next topic. Revive it is. After 25 years, this week features the revival of the X-Men animated series. The new series picks up one day after the original signed off. Name one show you would like to revive and pick up with the exact same continuity.
Oh, okay. So we're gonna do Firefly, a beloved sci-fi show, went off the air probably a bit too soon. The best part is with the continuity, pretty much everyone's dead. And so I think that is perfect to just have a whole new crew come in and just completely redo it. I'm thinking, you know, we could play off bits for this. I think we do need Sir Patrick Stewart coming in and doing some kind of spoof of his character on Star Trek. Yeah, let's just get all new cast of characters. We'll throw out little hints of like, oh, we remember Nathan Fillion, and then just blow right past it. Because that's what everyone wants, the same old characters, and we're just going to take it from them.
Love it, love it. Okay, I'm glad that that's where you went, because I have to tell you this. There is no greater week this week than for 10-year-old Raf knowing that 40-year-old plus Raf is getting to see X-Men revived. Like, could not have told me as a child that you will get this again in so many years. Because even as a kid, I understood at some point this is going to get canceled. Like, when things are too good, they take it away. And at that time, Fox didn't really, they had Batman, Power Rangers, X-Men. And I thought to myself, this is fun. Oh, they're going to cancel it. It's a lot of money. Oh, this animation's getting worse. What's happening? And now you read the book, you find out more stuff, you find out what they were up against. They had a fraction of the budget of Batman the Animated Series, which is why that always got held to a high standard. There was one writer who got hired. He was an assistant. And he was like, dude, I really want to write for Batman. They're like, cool. So they're about to hire him. And they go, hey, Batman's dying. Go on X-Men now. And he goes, oh, I love X-Men. And he goes, great. So basically he was an assistant who made its way to being a writer. But imagine being told, like, man, I can't wait. I'm writing. I'm going to get on Batman. And I'm close to Batman. And it's done. Shit.
Just leave the memories alone. You know, you got to move on sometimes.
So having said that, will you be watching the new X-Men revival?
Yeah, I'll be pulling it up. I think the original X-Men, it was something I had to kind of go back to watch. I'm not quite in that plus 40 division at Naga yet. So
you know what? After this weekend, apparently neither am I. So I guess we're both in that world now. Okay. Did you have any favorite moments from the previous X-Men, the OG one, the animated series?
You know, I don't have any specific moments, but I think because of the new one coming out, there's been a lot of revisiting kind of a lot of the key tropes of the original, such as every time they really need to get rid of Magneto, Professor X is like, you're going to relive the Holocaust. And he's like, no. And you're just like, okay, yeah, that's a pretty, that's a good response for that.
To be fair, there's not one person you're rolling with that you wouldn't want to be able to be like, I'm going to give you the most trauma right now so that I don't have to physically beat you up. As a person who wrist locks people, like, you're telling me you would not do that?
I you know, now that you say that, I hope that, you know, when you do get wrist locked, it takes you back to your childhood and you're like, oh man, my dad never came back. That's true. It was my weak wrists.
The thing I hate about it is when people now, I guess they're so much more educated and better. When they said, they're like, yo, why is Professor X the worst? And I go, Magneto literally knocked that dude out of his wheelchair. You knock me out of a wheelchair? I'm going straight to the Holocaust too. Screw you, bud. I'm like, oh, take this. And I love that when he did it, like, Professor X was always like, you're going to make me do it. Don't make me do it. Holocaust?
He was always like, hey, you know, I got, you know what I remember? I know you remember it, but you know what I remember too? We don't have to go there.
You know what? Now you really dispel Professor X's power to just Pepperidge Farms remembers. It really does dilute the character very well. So that is good. I'm just glad that we get a few tropes in the back because I've missed Jean fainting. I think the disrespect on Cyclops has gone on for too long. Very good leader. Shitty situations. Got worse as a human being as things go. Read the comics. That dude basically banged anything with a pulse. But then at the same point, part of me was like,
oh, he can't see, Raph. What are you going to do?
But part of me was like, yo, psych, you bagged that? And that? Like, yo, prop, psych. Like, yo, I didn't think you would be able to. I didn't think you had that in you, fam. Okay, good on you. So.
I'm telling you too, if we don't get at least one quick remake of the Wolverine touching the picture meme, then the whole show is a waste. Yeah. So
what if this whole thing is just a nostalgia act that they literally just replay the old series, like first 10 episodes, and they go, let's see if you just have any complaints.
Did you notice?
So there's a part of me that's kind of like, yo, if you guys did that, I don't even know if I would complain because I revisited the whole 75 episodes in the past month or so. And the amount of shit I got done was very high because when you put on something that you don't know, you might like sit there and wash dishes and not do it as fast. I was literally sitting there reciting the lines with the characters being like, what is it? Jack's a better to open. Like when you're like doing a bad Cajun accent, you're like, why am I doing, like, why is this still seeped in my head? Like, why am I yelling out halt mutants? Like, weird. But
I will say, speaking of weaponized nostalgia, I do want to give a shout out to one of our train affiliates, our training partner Willie, for his primo spats that he has that have a bunch of Batman villains all over them, but were clearly like got from Wish, so they can't use any of the actual names. So you have things like the Human Penguin on there, and just the Clown Prince of Crime. It's the best. It's been memed to death in our group chat, but it's the best.
I love it. That's, you know what, props to him. And
We
for
have a
years though,
non-legally distinct penguin man.
can I say this? Because I am one of the few people that give Cyclops props. A buddy of mine, Juan Bernardo, I think he competed somewhere and had a rash guard that was a Cyclops, like the Jim Lee uniform. And I just said, why do you have that? And he goes, I kind of like Cyclops. And I go, do you kind of like him or do you like him? Because I like him and I should have that. And I wear glasses. Like he's a hero to us because he has glasses and he can control it. And he's just looking at me. He's like, yeah, this was like a one-time off kind of a thing. And I go, is that so that they don't get sued? And also, you're a lawyer, so you would know that. But like, two can't get sued either, right? Like, if you made me one. And he was just telling me, he's like, well, they made it special for me. And I was like, well, then make it special for me too, you dick. So there was a very
He's
long
in there.
conversation about
You said that. How dare you stand where he stood? And
bro,
there's
for
a good
real.
reference for the Harry Potter guy. Sorry about earlier. I didn't mean
You're fine. I'm just more mad that,
it.
like, it's not one of those people I can threaten with violence because he's actually better at jiu-jitsu than me. So I was like, oh, shit, I'm just kind of stuck here. So this kind of blows.
You just got to wait for him to leave it in the locker room and then run.
You know, X-Men was my revive topic, but I'll see if I can come up with one more. What's up, Jits Mom? Let's see if I can give you a secondary show to revive. You know, there's a lot of TV I've seen watch and die. One was Netflix's Now, Arrested Development. Arrested Development, top tier, all-time great comedy. Netflix series, that was okay. Listen, I love them. Legendary status, I will never take away from it. But if you're talking about one comedy that I feel didn't get the shake, it should have just on TV, might have gotten it elsewhere. Police Squad. Hear me out. Police Squad was the precursor to The Naked Gun. It was a 6-episode series by the same guys who did Airplane. Now, granted, when I said the same continuity, the main actor did die. So, yes, Leslie Nielsen no longer with us. But what's more Police Squad slash Naked Gun like than to continue right on with a new actor who literally just goes into the vein of Don't Call Me Shirley, like with that Leslie Nielsen deadpan demeanor, and just delivers it. I say, revive that shit.
I'm here for it. I think that's almost the perfect opportunity to do that.
And I have to say, there is a new Naked Gun happening, so there is precedent for it. The only thing about it is they're bringing in Liam Neeson, so that's fine. It's also Seth MacFarlane who's doing it. Sure. He
Oh,
has
well,
reverence for it. So, okay.
you could stitch together the entirety of Airplane from Family Guy clips. So.
Having said all of that, there is a part of me that says there's money on the table with a TV version of that. Like, you mean to tell me you can't give me that once every 10 months with 10 episodes? Like, you can put that on Netflix and I would cry laughing because there are certain jokes that still kill me to this day from Police Squad, where especially you see, I think it is Leslie Nielsen. I can't tell if it's his coworker, but he looks over at a woman and he just goes, ma'am, that's terrible. Cigarette? And she goes, yes, it is. And I go, fuck, God. Why are all of these timings so good? Oh, it's so annoying. So yeah, I would 100% revive that. So I'm gonna wait with dubious ears and eyes to see how the Liam Neeson one does, because I'll pitch that 100% in 10 years. So we got two left, sir. Where would you like to
All
go
right,
now?
I'm doing. Let's do power.
Power it is. You once created a PowerPoint for your friends who don't watch wrestling to understand the Royal Rumble. What is the nerdiest thing that you have ever done in your life?
Oh God, ever? Jeez. We're gonna have to, that's a lot to unpack right now, Raf. I didn't make my actual therapy appointment yet until it's in a couple of weeks, so I didn't expect to be unloading this right now. So I think, it really all starts when I was a kid. There was just a lot of times making Excel sheets, a lot of graphs being made, and I think that really carries on into my later work, as you've previously seen with those wrestling PowerPoints. The one thing that I think you'll find is factually incorrect about your statement is that I once created a PowerPoint. That is my fourth iteration of that PowerPoint for the Royal Rumble specifically, because you got to get the people up to date on what's happening. You got to get your sources. You got to look at betting odds. It's just what needs to be done to make sure everybody's having the best time.
So you have to understand that as you were doing that, and I was setting up our viewing party, mine is more like a functional fight companion, which in itself is an elevated status of, I guess, input or interest. When you're like, "Hey man, yeah, do you mind doing a video for this?" And I was like, "Not at all, but what am I doing?" And you go, "Oh, I just do a PowerPoint." And you're blasé explaining it to me, and I go, "I'm sorry, what are you doing?" And the amount of laughter I had, where I go, "Well, you obviously have to send it to me, so now I can see what it is." And the people I showed it to were like, "Wow." And I go, "I know." And I'm talking to somebody who's about to host a show where we're just watching it. This dude has eclipsed me with this PowerPoint. How did he do that? And then, sure, I can't verify that there were more, but I knew for sure there was one. And if I had asked for the verification, sir, to know that you had done this 4 times previously, it would have given away the fact that this was going to be a topic. So I was curious after seeing you do that I go, has he done other shit that's even nerdier than this? Because I feel like this is top tier nerd.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's one of those things that, the first time, I think it was like during COVID, we were gonna some people, it's like, I gotta watch something. Hey, the Rumble's on, the Rumble's great. And there's like two of us who are like, have ever watched wrestling. And I don't even like watch it up to date. I just get all of my news through YouTube and like, oh, hey, some crazy stuff's happening. All right, that's notable. So then it's like, well, if we're gonna watch this, we gotta know who's gonna be in it. And then I'm doing it day of, and half the reason it's funny is because it's just terribly made. I'm just throwing things on the PowerPoint, and like intentionally misspelling things and just leaving capital letters in wherever. And I go, ah, it's funnier that way. And then now it's just evolved since then. Now it's a yearly tradition. So that was, I think, the day of the Royal Rumble this year, and I was like, are we having people over? All right, well, I gotta go make a PowerPoint. Hold on, this will take me like 2 hours.
I mean, I know what I was thinking in my head because there are times when I just tell my wife, like, I have to go do something. And she doesn't even question it. She's like, "You have to go do some dumb shit. Don't tell me." Like, if I show her what this board looks like, there's not a, like, "Wow, that's really good." It's just a, "Okay, so that's what you're doing now." It's like, yep. We bring some other kids on. We do some fun stuff. We talk about topics. She goes, "Oh, that sounds fun." But I just
Yeah,
know when
the
you say that, you're like, "Excuse me. I must go to make this PowerPoint about Roman Reigns and what he means currently."
it's one of those things too that if my brain just comes up with a bit, it's just is like, all right, I'm not gonna be okay until I do this. And even if no one else thinks it's funny, if I think it's funny, I'm like, yeah, that was worth it.
Yeah, no, I'm still in that same vein. So, all right, that's good. Sir, we have one topic left. So, why don't we go straight to that one? This is one that you should be very familiar with, but perhaps not the exact question that comes along with it. It is, thank you, next. You have famously said that you hate getting thanked for rolling with people. My question, why do you hate friendship?
Yep. No, I knew it was gonna go here. It's not about friendship. It has nothing to do with friendship. I love friends. Friends are great. As soon as I get some, I'll let you know what it's like. It's the matter of fact is, I am a participant in the gym, just like everybody else there. And if we finish around and you hit me with like a, oh, hey, thanks for rolling with me, I'm like, oh, yeah, cool, whatever, But it gets at me a little bit when people are always like, hey, I really appreciate, thank you for rolling with me. And I'm like, okay. You know, hey, we're all here. We're all trying to get better. It doesn't have to be a me thing. You know, I don't understand why this is like some giant courtesy that I've bestowed upon you. You know, and you know what? I'm probably gonna try to wrist lock you anyway. So I don't know why you should feel good about it.
Okay. You know what? Rather than spend too much time waiting for a rebuttal, I'm just going to go straight into mine right now. And here we go. You can tell I'm going straight into it. Yes, there we go. Sir, let me tell you this right now. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Is it weird to text somebody thank you? I guess. But that's just because we're growing up with more and more children that don't have manners. I'm not thanking you because you wrist locked me, you dick. I'm thanking you because you ended up helping us get better. I've been seeing a lot of memes, and by the way, guess what happens in the culture of memes in jiu-jitsu? That happens once, you're gonna see it 100 more times in the next 2 weeks. Uh-oh, like that blue belt joke? Not going anywhere. You're gonna keep seeing it whether they made it or not. The reason why I'm coming back to this is I've seen a lot of memes go after the fact that there are certain people who have been raised properly, who have been raised with politeness, who just say, like, hey man, thanks. And instead they're like, yo, can you believe this jamoke thanked me? What a weirdo. No, fuck you. Learn some manners and you take the fucking compliment. Somebody's actually very happy. There was a time, once upon a time, children, when the best person you could find was a blue belt that came from a mall. That's where we were. Now, take your fucking thanks and shut up.
You
Sir.
know, it's funny, your hyperbolic example there of some dude like, can you believe this fucking clown thanked me? If someone said that to me, I'd be like, yo, I like this guy. Let's go. This guy gets
just, listen, I've seen that
it.
joke pop up, and it was like, all of the main memes, which I know the meme makers in Jiu-Jitsu, they have like a chat, like a DM. So every once in a while, they'll do like a who has the best take on this joke sort of a thing. Or they all see each other's work and they're like, oh, I've got a take on that. Yeah. And then he slides into the DMs and says, thank you for the role, blah, blah, blah. And I go, so now we're just insulting random nice notes. Like, yeah, dude. If I've had a good training session, I've sent a note to somebody being like, yo, that was great, man. Thank you for making me better. Great. Appreciate you. Hey, man, that was dope. We should do that again. Sounds good. If I didn't send that, I'm not the type of grappler that people are going to go, you know who I need to roll with again? Raph. Fuck you guys. I need those people. Those people make me better. So that's why when I see all these people being like, oh, I hate it when people say thank you, it's like, do any of you ever send acknowledgments or thanks? Like, are you the people that don't send thank you cards? No? No? You're
Listen,
not those people?
I'm from the Midwest. The thank you is implied to me. The fact that we had an exchange at all is like, yep, and you know, obviously we both appreciate it. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. So when it just goes overboard, I'm like, who are you trying to impress?
Let me
Also,
pull up the pull-up.
I do really like learning that there is like a secret Illuminati of
Oh,
jujitsu memes and that they meet and sacrifice chickens or whatever you were talking about.
A previous time ago when I was making more memes, I might have been in a couple of them for a heartbeat. But
Oh, you're like Leah Remedy, you got rescued out of the meme cult.
No, I'm probably sure I just aged out of it. I think at a certain
Where's
point.
that podcast? My transition out of the jiu-jitsu meme cult. My life after.
You know what it was? Is speaking of Airplane, there's one character in the movie Airplane that he's the background. He's the assistant to Lloyd Bridges' character. So when they're all in the airport, he just will go on and he'll be like, oh, that reminds me of four. And he does like a joke run. That's what it's like being around a writer's room sometimes and other meme makers where they don't stop doing bits. And to me, I'm like, the joke is the bit. I have pushed it out. I'm gonna go back and do other things. And when people are all competing to try and have the best bit, sometimes I'm like, this is fun for like 5 minutes. And then I go, you know what? I gotta go. So those people who are doing those bits in those DMs are the ones telling you shouldn't be going into DMs and filling it worth of thank you, proper thank yous. I don't know that those are the guys that have the right ability to say that. So, yeah, I am fairly certain
I
that,
feel like that does get down to my point is that we're all degenerates here, right? Like, let's just cut away the facade.
so here's what I want to point out. Just so that people get an understanding of what's going on here. As somebody who's lived in the Midwest, I don't think you guys get to claim actual niceness. I think you guys are fake nice. And I'll tell you this. This is coming from somebody from Los Angeles. When I went there, everybody was like, oh, people in the Midwest, they're so nice. I was like, uh-uh. You don't get that. They're like, why? They're like, I like good Midwest people. They're real nice. And I was like, nah, Midwest people talk shit about you behind your back. That you guys are fake nice. You do this whole like, and they're like, well, you come from LA as fake nice. I was like, no, you know we're fake. That's how you know it's truthful. So fuck off. That's our version. So you know exactly what you get with us because you think that you know, but you don't know. So they're just like, oh, yeah. Because I'm telling you this. If you're the one arguing that politeness and manners in the DMs or to say thank you in person, firm handshake, thank you very much, sir. You're the one that's like, don't give me that. I think this just proves my point. I think these Midwest folks.
That's what I'm saying. I'm taking away. I'm taking away the fake niceness. So I'm like, oh, we don't have to do that.
I'm just telling you this. As somebody who is 100% gotten extra rolls just by being like, hey, man, good time. They're like, yeah, we should do this again. Absolutely. All right, man. Sounds good. Let's set up a time. It has also afforded us a lot of interviews. So I see the benefit to it. Sir, the way that we like to start to close this is I always like to ask somebody if they have something that they would like to present to me that could potentially trip me up or give me a topic in the way that I have given you these six. So is there a topic that you would like to get a response out of me? You know me better than most people. You see my interviews quite consistently. So you should know something that might potentially trip me up.
Oh yeah, that's fair. You know, and if I were a smart person, I would have thought of this beforehand. But we're gonna roll with it. This is the secret seventh prompt. Is come up with a prompt. So yeah, okay. This will be my general question. Which group of people do you find it more difficult to interview? Is it MMA or BJJ athletes? Assuming you can get them on the call.
I mean, you'd be surprised how many people I can stalk and get on the show. And there are just some people that I go, I don't want to interview this person. I just don't think we're going to mesh well. They might be a very popular person, but I'm like, I don't see it. To be honest, MMA people probably have more experience being interviewed. Jiu-jitsu people are kind of weird nerds, sometimes socially awkward, that they don't know exactly how to present themselves. So they'll try on personalities, like their different clothes. They'll be like, this seems like interesting. This is a quirk. Let's see how this goes. And then they'll be like, it's kind of weird. You'll see the interview and you'll see them kind of doing a persona. There are some people who you kind of can shake the persona after about a good 10 minutes. And then they're looking at you like, oh no. I don't have the thing that makes me interesting. And I was like, you're the thing that makes you interesting. Just be fucking normal. But MMA people, they've probably been interviewed 3 or 4 times. The only thing that happens on that side is sometimes they think they're hot shit because they've been interviewed like 3 times. They're like, yeah, Power 106 once interviewed me for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, that's cool. You still don't know how to carry a conversation. So I'm going to have to do some heavy lifting here. But I think we're making inroads. The only thing I see is, people follow patterns, perhaps because patterns work in jiu-jitsu in terms of, oh, I want to replicate this person's game. And you can. Sometimes you can emulate their game just by trying it. Patterns don't work as well for the authenticity of how you communicate. So when somebody's like, ooh, I see that Conor McGregor talk shit, I'm going to do the same. In jiu-jitsu, they try that and they're like, yo, your leg lock instructional was weak. I ran through it in just 6 hours. It was a 10-hour video. What? You go, this is not good. So I always listen to the inflection in the voice. And if they sound like monotone the entire time, they don't raise inflection, they don't know how to do those things, you kind of go, I don't think I believe you, kid. I think you're putting on airs and you're just doing what the pattern says. So but yeah, by and large, I think jiu-jitsu people are slowly getting better, and it's a continuous hope here.
I will say from a clip point of view, I think I do enjoy the jiu-jitsu guys a little bit more because you'll just be listening, and you're right, sometimes there's like some kind of persona that's going on, but then they'll just say something, and you're like, what? Like, oh, wait, let's go with that. And a lot of times the MMA guys are very like, it's like that Key and Peele skit where it's literally like, yep, 110%, leave it all on the field. You know, try my best. One didn't go our way, but we'll come back. You know, you're like, yeah, I got it. You know, yep, we'll see you out there.
I mean, but I just think, just from our interviews, there are moments now, because in having a partner like you to help out, there are moments where I go, oh fuck, this is gonna be a hard one for you. Like, like I can hear you telling me, like, hey man, that one was rough. And I go, I know. I had to pull my shit together and really make that one work at a certain point. But every once in a while, I definitely can hear you being like mid-corner going, boss, I don't think this one's it.
You are currently waiting on one for me. That is, it's taking a minute because I'm like,
you know what? The worst.
All right.
Hold on. I'm trying to think if there's one that's coming up that I actually had it worse, or if that's the same one that I think we're talking about, because there was one recently where I just go, I think it was like this. Imagine you're on a basketball court and somebody brings you these basketballs and it's your job to kind of like dunk them, like you're trying to get some tickets. And all of a sudden you just go like this. You're like, nope, uh-oh. Nope, uh-oh. Nope, this guy's not responding to any of these. All right, one of these is going to go in. Nope. Oh, fuck. Hey, that one's in. All right, we're going to spend 20 minutes on this now. So, there's definitely one that I for sure was like... But I kid, because all guests are great. I've never had a bad guest.
And we appreciate you out there. Come be on the show.
100%. This is the best way to tell people to come be on the show. Sir, well, I think that kind of exhausts the questions and prompts. What I would like to do now is put the camera on you and I'll allow you to plug anything that you would like, sir. So tell the people where they can go train with you. Tell them where they can find you when you are not busy doing both your big kid job, your real job, and helping us out here through the kind graciousness of your personality.
Yeah. So, you know, Tipping Point Jiu-Jitsu, we got the merch, out here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, dope place to train. We got a lot of people, a lot of really good talent. So if you're in Eastern Iowa for some reason, you should definitely come and train. Shout out to, Nation Athletic for all the sick gear. I think they're dropping some heavy metal inspired stuff recently, and so I'm all about it. And then, you know, if you're happen to be in Dubuque, Iowa this Saturday, I'm going to be teaching wrist locks and monoplatas. So if you want to become a pariah at your gym, come on by. And you know, maybe at one point I'll parlay all of this reckless knowledge into an instructional at some point, but I can't let Pete the Greek box me out of the wrist lock market.
I mean, at a certain point, he's going to have to let it go. Like, at a certain point, there's going to have to be a new wrist lock guy. So why not you?
That's, why not? You know, is there not, does the world not have two wrists? You know, can we not each get one?
Take custody of the right wrist, you dick. Yeah, of course. Pete the Greek. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with Pete the Greek. I will give you money if you are able to convince him that he should let go at least half custody.
Yeah, of course.
I have said over the years, Pete the Greek has the most Native American-esque speaking pattern I have heard out of a human being. And I don't know that he is one, but I've definitely heard him like speak in a lower register. It's almost questions up each time, young man. How are you? Yes, okay.
Yeah, something about the name Pete the Greek doesn't scream Native American to me, but I, you know, we'll investigate further.
Listen, you can say whatever you want. At this day and age, none of us know what happens on anybody else's 23andMe. And half the time, somebody comes back here and they're like, yo, I was Asian this whole time. And you go, it's not going to be good.
I mean, the man is international. It is wrist lock the world, not wrist lock, you know, central of the U.S. You know, he's the new Mr. Worldwide.
Hold up. Wrist lock the West or the Midwest is actually not bad. Like, you should get somebody who takes that logo he has with the world when they do the wrist lock and just really, like, hone in on him being like, he's worldwide. I'm here for the people. I'm more connected to you guys.
He's busy. He's like Superman. He has to take care of like the world. And I'm like Spider-Man. I'm like micromanaging, just wrist locking the Midwest. So we'll get the world and it'll just like zoom and enhance like four times into the greater tri-state area of Iowa, Wisconsin, and Illinois.
See, you were playing that too nice. If I was you, I would have gone the other way and just really gone out of my way to say how much he's like Ms. Marvel. Or like, look, Ms. Marvel. I mean, look, he's away at a different planet. We hate her, right? But we like me. Good West
That's right.
American
Well,
guy.
that's what you get for me ranking Marvel third in that list. So you're not going to get all of them right away.
By the
He's
way,
really more of a Hufflepuff, if I had to say
oh
something,
my God, Jesus Christ. I will tell you in the future, I think we are, last week we introduced list, this week rank, and I think those are going to be two of the ones that I re recur over the years. So I'm excited that you got to be the first to do rank because last week we did list, and I feel like those are going to be ones that we're going to come up with more and more absurd entries to have people try to give us their impressions or rankings. Well, sir, I thank you for doing this. It is always a pleasure chatting with you. I believe we're going to see you for a little bit when we do our ADCC coverage. If you could believe it is next week because I have kind of forgot, but yet in the back of my dreams, it is haunting me. So, yes, I believe we'll be seeing you for some of that coverage at some point during that weekend, correct?
Yeah, we're gonna try to make it happen.
Hey. The effort is all we need, even if we get you for a little bit, because you were a valuable member the last time we brought you on. And our continued thanks for all the great things that you do here. This show would not be as successful as it is, even in whatever iteration it is, as a great deal to you. So thank you so much for all of your hard work, man. We appreciate you.
No problem. And thank you, Raf. Most importantly, as much as I love thank you, so we're going to keep that out there.
Wanted to be like, how facetious is this one? Having said, you know what? I should quantify that. I don't mind thanking people about jujitsu, but like I am hard at taking compliments. So, when you did that right there, I was like, don't defer this compliment. Don't defer like whatever this is. And then you realize you're like, no, it's kind of a bit too. Okay. Stay the line, just smolder, look at camera. Squint eyes and start to kick off guests. Brian, I'll talk to you off air. I'm going to close this up.
Right, see ya.
All right, you guys. This has been another great installment of Running the Gauntlet. We hope that you appreciated it. We do it every Monday, unless for some reason we have to move it to Tuesday, which we may do in 2 weeks. But next week, we should be back on a Monday afternoon. And we thank you for watching. We had a lot of people tuning in on in. I think YouTube at some point, which was great to see. So thank you guys for coming on in and watching along with us. A few notes, like we said a little bit earlier, swap out. If you guys want to get one of these, we got shirts, we got hoodies. They are available at rapasparsa.com/merch. If you like those things, we always appreciate if you guys go and give us some support. $25 for t-shirts and $45 for the hoodies. And if you get a combination of the two, $60 savings. And if you guys like what we do here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe. It really does mean a lot to us on the show. And go on over to patreon.com/grapplinghour. If you go there, you can see our interviews 30 days before anybody else. And if you want to pay a few extra dollars, you can get extra bonus content like Roast Raph, which I think may get very interesting in the next few weeks if we're able to pull off one of these bookings. You can also see extra bonus content not available anywhere else, including minisodes and tape studies with the athletes, where we break down their matches and fights. And a brand new segment that I may do where we do, I think it's a character study or athlete study. We might call it references. I'm not sure. It's like 50-50. Because, like, who else is going to have that name? And it's so annoying you won't forget it. So, stuff to talk about in later meetings. So, we may be doing that for every ADCC athlete. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of value. And that's for our premium members. And last thing, if you like the conversations we have you here, go ahead and continue on with us over at Discord, where we enjoy your discourse and your conversation. So we appreciate you guys. That's going to do it for us here today. Thanks for running the gauntlet with us. It's been a great day for grappling. We'll see you back on the mats.